Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. We've been preaching on the subject, the truth about hell, and we're going to continue that message that we began yesterday. We've been looking at the declaration of a character currently in hell, but today we're going to look at this thought, the disposition of a character that's currently in hell. Hope it'll be a blessing to you as you listen. We find that, man, this rich man seems to overlook a beggar. I want you to remember this, the question that Job presented: if a man dies, where is he? Have you ever considered the fact that the book of Luke never gives us this man's name? He doesn't have a name. He's just a certain rich man. He does not have a name. We don't find out what his name is. That's interesting, isn't it? But I also believe this. I believe it's a clue to what happens after death for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Suppose the Lord had been asked this question: what was the man's name? Well, I'm sure the Lord, in the ability of omniscience, I'm pretty sure the Lord could have said, well, he's from such and such town. This is his mom and daddy. He's old mom and pop with this. And he was born in this time. And in all of these days, he could tell you his birth. He could tell you his address. He could tell you his social security number. I mean, he could tell you everything you want to know about this certain region. Jesus knew it. But this is what he did. He didn't give us his name. Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1 said this: and Adam knew, K-N-E-W, his wife, and she conceived and bare a son, and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. This means that Adam had a relationship with Eve. He knew his wife, K-N-E-W. There was a conception because he knew his wife, amen. There was a relationship, leaving father and mother and cleaving to thy wife, and they too shall become one flesh. It's amazing, however, that this relationship has caused a birth. I want you to see Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 begins to identify these things. Look at this. Because of false prophets, is that what it says in your Bible? Because of false prophets which come in sheep's clothing, notice that, looking like a Christian, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Can I just throw it into hillbilly Philip Youngblood terms? In other words, they're not who they say they are. They are false prophets. Can I say this way? They are false. They've given a false profession in sheep's clothing. They've said one thing, but they're not doing what they say that they're doing. Now let's finish that. Ye know them, talking about these false prophets, you know them by their fruits. Now don't judge me. Y'all ever heard that? I mean, man, you'll start talking to somebody about their immorality. You'll start talking to somebody, man, about their sin. You'll talk to, don't judge me, they'll say. Y'all get some of them trees, them fancy trees, and you plant them in your yard, and if they don't grow, and they don't, you jerk them up. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs, or of thistles? Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been with somebody who's been grape picking and ever been carried the basket with you and said, oh, that's a good thorn. Let's put it in our bucket. Oh, boy, look here, another thistle. Well, that's going to taste real good in the pie, ain't it? But it's all right as long as we just show up for church. It's all right as long as we claim to be a Christian. We're all going to heaven, you know. Maybe there's some false prophets in this building. Maybe there's some false prophets in the world. Maybe there's some wolves that's come among us in sheep's clothing and told us that they've been saved, told us that they have a relationship with Jesus, and they're just really lying because there is no fruit. Look at verse 17. Even so, every good fruit bringeth forth good, every good tree, excuse me, bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Is the reason why you keep putting out bad fruit because you're an evil tree? Because you don't have a relationship with you? Is that the reason why? Is that the source of the problem? Look at verse 19. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I'm going to do it too in my yard. I don't want no stinking dead tree in my yard. I'm going to pull it up, throw it in the fire, amen. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to put something else in its place. Verse 20 says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You're going to have knowledge of them. Now listen, I'm not judging you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you've got more worldly characteristics than you do godly characteristics,
you're probably lost and on a road to hell.
You say, preacher, now I don't like that. I don't care whether you like it or not. That's what the Bible said. That if you're, look here, you're a false prophet, friend. You're just going around with a testimony that's not true. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to everybody else. And you're a false prophet. According to the Word of God, you're a false prophet. I'm calling you out. I'm going to say, listen, if you've ever been born again with the grace of God, and if you're in sin, there's going to be some chastisement. They said, you're going to man drag yourself there, and you're going to be like, oh, my God, I can't take it no more. If you've ever been truly born again, but if you're lost, I'm telling you this morning, and you're doing these things, you know who you are. Does your life match up to what this Bible says? How a Christian man and how a Christian woman should live. You're not Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, amen. We do the best we can, don't we? But when we're tiptoeing over a little bit too far in the evil side, there's something wrong, friend. You better get it under the blood, amen. Notice verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do y'all see that? He that doeth the will of my Father. What is the will of God for your life? It's right here. It's simple. It's what this book tells you to do, amen. And how to live. That's what the will of God is for your life. Now we go on. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name. I've testified at church. And in thy name have cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. I've testified. I've done these works. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, friend. There ain't nothing that I've ever done, praise God. It's all been Jesus, amen. It's all been the Lord. It's all been God guiding me. It's all been God helping me. You say, preacher, how can I live the Christian life? You'll never live the Christian life apart from Jesus Christ. Notice this, verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never, K-N-E-W, knew you. Remember what we said about Adam and Eve? Adam knew his wife meant this. He had a relationship. They became one flesh together. The next thing that happened, she conceived and bare a son. Seems to me like that this K-N-E-W seems to have something to do with relationship and a birth taking place. If the Lord doesn't know you, and in the next section he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. If he's saying that, it's because he does not have you don't have a relationship with him. If you have a relationship, this is what it's going to be. Man, he's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my Lord. He's my everything. And you're going to take your life, and everything in your life is going to be, man, an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, because who are you trying to please? It ain't me. You should be trying to please Jesus. Why do you treat your neighbor good? Because Jesus is my Lord. Why do we treat each other right? Because the Bible says to do so. And so therefore, you have a relationship with him. And that's what it's all about, friend. And that's the result of that relationship is this. A birth that takes place. I tell my kids all the time, I got a birth I can't remember and one I cannot forget, amen. Well, I'm thankful to be born again by the grace of God this morning. I'm not talking about being born in the flesh again. I'm talking about being born of the Spirit of God. And because I've been born of the Spirit, that's what makes all these things different now. It's because I have a relationship with Jesus. Am I still in the book? Amen. We spoke about the declaration of a certain character, a certain man in hell. But let's look secondly at this. At the disposition of a certain character that's in hell. In other words, his current state. If there is no hell, then there is no current state, right? And let me say this, the reason why that this man is not named in the Bible, I believe is because he never knew him. He had no relationship, erased. His name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's gone. But if he's gone, then that means his eternity's gone. Let's find that out. I want you to look at once again at verse number 20. These bloggers that I was reading after keep talking, Brother Sammy, that this place called hell is just referring to the grave. But that's not what this eyewitness in hell tells us.
No, this eyewitness in hell tells us something much different than what the blogger said. The blogger said, oh, it's just referring to the place of the dead. It just means that you die and there is nothing else. That don't make sense because the Bible speaks about eternal life often. Life after death, right? Look at verse 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried, notice this thing, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, I want you to get this. It did not say that they were both buried. That's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting that it didn't say that they were both buried because, and I don't know why that is. You know, maybe it was because the rich man had money to have a burial, and then, you know, Lazarus, him being full of sores, maybe they had him burned, and I don't know the whole details, but I don't know what happened to his body. But it's almost like this. It's almost like that what Paul said, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The angels swept up old Lazarus in his terrible state with his sores and with his hurt, with his pain. And that angel got underneath him and took him into Abraham's bosom. I tell you, friend, I don't know what it was like, but I can almost imagine while he went from the awful state of sores and the awful states of hardship and man, discouragement and hunger, that he was swept up by the angel and then taken to this place of bliss. We understand that the Bible, however, speaks about the rich man much differently. It says this, and when he died, he was buried. He went to the grave. And no reference to angels carrying him into Abraham's bosom. I believe this. I believe he took his... Can I get us to be real and just give you... Everybody else has given an opinion. Can I give you my thoughts for just a moment? I'm trying to do it the best I can and stay in the book, but I believe when he died, they put his body in the grave, but he immediately went to this place called hell. There was no waiting period. There's no holding time. There's no none of those things. This is not purgatory. Amen. This place called hell is an active place. Amen. It is still in activity right now today. All these skeptics seem to think that hell is a place of the grave. And it seems like that, yes, I'm going to admit to you that hell is connected to the grave. It is life after death for the unbeliever, those that have rejected the plan of salvation. Yes, this place, that's the mode, that's the gate that you go through, amen, to get to this place. Notice verse 23. And in hell, do you think that that's current? Long time ago, do you think that's still current? In hell, I believe it's just almost like reading the headlines this morning, watching the news. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. You think that Jesus wanted us to know that there is an activity right now in a place called hell under our feet in the heart of the earth, a place called hell where the unregenerated, the unredeemed, the unbeliever goes, amen, when they die and take their last breath on this side of eternity and the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments. In my King James Bible, it's more than one. That's a totally different message. I don't want to get on that today. But being in torment. And notice this. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That state has currently changed. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus to me, dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, and now is comforted, and thou art tormented. Y'all see that? And beside this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So in other words, in the heart of the earth, currently in the time which this was written, there was a place called Abraham's bosom. There was a division of that place. And on the other side of the heart of the earth, there was a place called hell.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.